during the ABCA convention as we record this podcast. A reminder, our friends at Driveline Baseball are doing some great content during the ABCA. In fact, I retweeted this. But, you know, if you haven't seen it, I'm sure they're going to have all that stuff available after the convention. Lots of great content from Driveline at the ABCA. You can find on their Twitter feed at Driveline Baseball. And of course, a reminder for college coaches, making updates to your player development system can be a difficult task. And whether you're limited by time or money or resources, Driveline has put together solutions to help any and all as they try to move their program forward. By calling or emailing into Driveline's customer support, coaches can work with the experts on creating a custom player development bundle that will stretch their budgets as far as possible. Through the combination of gear, technology, and software, Driveline will work together with coaches to draw out the perfect roadmap for player development in any program. For more, check out Driveline Baseball, as we said, on Twitter, Instagram, or at drivelinebaseball.com. Gentlemen, it's time for the stock game, part three. I think that the first two parts have gone well. I have dominated the voting. I think
yes, you have, Fitzy.
I did not play clean after the runes. Was once again groveling for votes on the internet. All I had to do was summon my, you know, throw up my bat signal in Starkville, even though they weren't even in this poll, and they helped me out. I think I owe everyone in Starkville a beer next time I'm in town.
Fitzy, I'll say this. Someday, maybe over adult beverages, you're going to share with Kendall and I your secret for summoning votes on Twitter polls, because it is uncanny how you are dominating us. But I will say, I'm going to be unselfish here. If you're listening to this podcast and you're going to vote on part three of the stock picking game Twitter poll, you need to know that Kendall Rogers' background picture right now is the Drover in Omaha, Nebraska, and he deserves consideration for that when voting. It is an outstanding background.
I'm really disappointed that my thousands and thousands of Virginia Tech fans didn't just vote for me because I tried to pick them twice.
That's right.
Even though That's Aaron right. actually drafted them, I wanted them to pick me for the fact I like them so much that I was willing to draft them again.
You might have confused the people, KR. That might have been the problem. I think clarity is a quality that most leaders need.
I have to admit, I did not see the second poll. So given the fact that I was unable to, you know, vouch for votes, I'm calling an incomplete election.
It's still up, so you can get your vote in. Okay. Kendall, we've extended the time period. Now, by the time the people hear this podcast, it will be too late. But at this point, if we're going to keep doing polls and Fitzy's going to keep trucking us like he's been, then I don't care anymore.
That's right.
I'm just gonna take my defeats and
see what we can do.
Yes.
We'll settle it on the field.
So let's set the rules really quick. Oh, say it again, Fitzy.
I said we'll settle it on the field anyway. And as that's rules, correct. We'll explain right now the rules to our yes. game here.
Yeah. So just to be clear, we're gonna do the Pac-12 and the Big Ten today. The rule is this is not about picking the best teams. This is picking the teams that are gonna make the biggest improvements. So we're gonna compare 2019 conference only records to 2021 conference only records. And we are going to normalize for our 30-game season because, of course, we don't know this year's season schedule could end up a little wonky compared to 2019, which was normal. So this is what you think. Stock picking game, the objective is to buy low and sell high. It'll be a little uneven because we've got 11 Pac-12 teams and we have 13 Big Ten teams, but it'll be a total of 24, eight rounds. That will work out perfectly. Mr. Rogers, you are on the clock with the first pick of the draft. We said we're going to begin with the pack, correct?
Correct. And my first pick is a pretty obvious one. We've talked about them before. Washington State, they were 3-26-1 two years ago. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that Brian Green will have a much improved team over that 3-win mark two years ago. And fellas, I'm not just thinking this team's going to improve. I think this team could make some noise in this league. And I'm not saying they're going to win the league, but I think they can be in that middle of that pack in the Pac-12 this year. When you look at particularly the middle of that lineup, I think when you look at the middle of that lineup with, you know, Kyle Manzardo and, you know, adding Tristan Peterson, I mean, you could argue that's one of the more formidable 3-4 punches in the whole country, much less the Pac-12 with those two guys. Now, they need some other guys, obviously, to produce around them, but I like the middle of that lineup. Circle the name Brandon White as well, kind of reading through Runes' report on Washington State earlier this fall. Really intriguing arm, 95, 97, bumping a 98. If they can get a guy like that to go out there and throw strikes and kind of be a frontline kind of arm, that, you know, opens him up to, you know, potentially finishing even a little higher than what I'm expecting. But I look at Washington State as probably kind of where maybe slightly better than where USC was that year. In 2019, they won 13 games. I think I see Washington State kind of in that 500-ish range. Maybe that's a little rich, but without a doubt, they'll be much, much better than 3 wins.
Yeah, that's premium value there. That is a no-brainer first pick. I think the second pick is a lot more difficult, and I have the second pick. And I could go in a lot of different directions, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take Arizona. They were
really
15, they were 15 and 14 in 2019, but I think that they, you know, in a 30 game season, I think it's a team that could win more than 20 conference games. You know, like if you look at the standings 2 years ago, Oregon State went 21-8, Stanford went 22-7. I see Arizona fitting in that range. I think they're the clear number two team in the pack for me behind UCLA. And so I'm expecting a 5 or 6 game improvement from 15 wins. And so, you know, I have conviction in that. That's the thing is these other teams here, you know, that I think could definitely be better than they were 2 years ago. I just don't know if I see as much room for growth as I do with Arizona. I just think they're going to be really good. I'm a real believer in all the newcomers, you know, that Mike Rooney talked about in his fall report. I mean, it's one of the best newcomer groups in the country. And they're going to hit the ground running. I mean, it's really, this can be a dynamic offense. And I think they have enough arms this time too. Coach Yeski's got some weapons to play with. So Arizona, number two pick.
Interesting.
Wow, that is interesting, Fitzy. That you throw me for a loop. Like
you did. He did.
You got me on my heels right now, which is great draft gamemanship. Not your first rodeo, but I like it very much.
No wonder he's winning all the polls.
That's right. Well played. All right. Good. So I that's interesting. Okay. I am going to do. All right. Give me Oregon at 10-19. You know, Mark Wasikowski and that staff, I got to write these guys up. You know, I don't think they're winning 16, 17, 18 games necessarily, but I could see him getting to 15. The one thing that we know about Mark Wasikowski, he's put a really nice staff together, and he's accumulating talent, which we know that's always been Mark Wasikowski's track record everywhere. And hey, let's be honest, the turnaround at Purdue was very fast. You know, it's basically year two. So give me Oregon at 10-19, or Oregon, sorry, however you say that.
I think you had it right the first time.
Yeah.
Does anyone say Oregon?
Oregon. The big.
No, I want to know. I want to know who you talk to.
I don't even know how
to says
say
Oregon.
Those goons out in Philadelphia, they probably say it that way.
That's right. The water. It was the water got me. Boy, I got a really tough pick right here. You know what? I have drank the Kool-Aid on the Washington Huskies, and I'm going to hire Tyson Guerrero is going to be a top 100 pick. Give me the UW Huskies.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick. I mean, that's certainly, you know, a team that was what, 12-17 a couple years ago. Yeah. I mean, I think at the very least that team has a chance to be 500 in the league and maybe better than that. And that's a good pick.
Here's what Lindsey Meggs told me, guys, that I thought was a very honest comment that it has caused me to really be excited about Washington. He said, you know, we've had pitching depth in the past. We've had speed in the past. We've had some physicality in the past. We've never had it at the same time. And now we feel like we've got it at the same time. Now, I will say this, Washington's rotation, I don't know, is Jack Enger a true blue Friday night guy in a power league? Maybe. I don't know. He was off to a really good start in 2020. You know, Tyson Guerrero punched out 15 guys in his last JUCO game last year, but he was really good at Washington State as a true freshman. Is he a real dude? You know, they've got three physical hitters. Will Simpson, I'm going to mess up the name. Colt Fontenelle is another physical guy who's a freshman. Michael Brown is a guy that people really like. I don't know. Braden Ward being back is a huge surprise. So take my keys. I'm drunk on the Washington Huskies.
All right. Fair enough. You are not driving home tonight. I like my pick here. I'm going to go with the USC Trojans. A team that was 13-15 and won a couple years ago. They got off to a 10-5 start in 2020. I like the young talent. This is another one that I think brought in a strong recruiting class, got some impact pieces there. And decent older guys back. I actually like some of the arms they've got. you know, I think Coach Gill has got these guys heading in the right direction. So we'll take the Trojans. I think they finish maybe a game or two better than that 2 years ago, and maybe more than that. They got a chance to be better than that. They might be the number three team in the pack when it's all said and done.
I like it. Yeah, either way, like a lot of these pack teams, guys, even no matter what we think about for this year, a lot of stock going up. Like USC, give me all the USC stock for the next 5 years I can get my hands on.
Yeah.
KR, two for you, buddy.
I think it starts to get a little bit more difficult at this point. I think when you look at the middle of that league, I could easily see some of these teams being worse than they were last year. But I'll say Utah here. I mean, they won six games 2 years ago. And, you know, as I look through your fall report, I mean, I'm not saying this team can win. This team can be 500 in conference, but I actually like some of these key pieces. You know, Justin Kelly is certainly a seasoned arm that everybody kind of knows about. He's 2 years removed from Tommy John surgery. You know, Kyle Robinall is a kind of a household name from, you know, the junior college ranks out in California. You look at these guys offensively, you know, adding Jalen McLaughlin from Nevada. He's a stolen base machine. You know, Jaden Kiernan, Brock Rudy. They've got some decent pieces here. And so, you know, I don't think they're going to finish in the middle of the pack, but I think they can get to the potentially kind of that 12-13 win mark, which is, you know, which is pretty good value for this late in the draft.
Right. You know what? Something about Gary Henderson being on that coaching staff, guys,
that helps.
Yeah, that pumps me up. You know, like that, what he accomplished at Mississippi State, and you know, Bill Kinnenberg. Yeah. Like, give me some. That's a good pick, KR. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, you look across the roster, and it's like, I feel like when you read through Utah's roster and kind of go through some of their names and things like that, like you're not looking at this team like, wow, this is going to be a really good team, but you're also not looking at this club like, wow, they're really going to stink. And so I think there's kind of a middle ground here on these guys.
I like it. I'm trying not to bat out of order this time, because that has become my tendency.
Now this is really difficult.
That's right. Well, you, Kendall, why don't you take Arizona? Just take Fitzy's first round pick.
They're off the board, KR.
At this point, I definitely would take Arizona.
Yes.
This is tough, guys. Like, Stanford, to me, will not get 22 wins. California certainly will not get 17. I guess I'll go with Arizona State. I mean, they won 16 games 2 years ago, even without Torque and some key pieces. I still like this club. You know, they got some decent arms on the mound. You know, Boyd Vanderkooy's back. Tyler Thornton, you know, he was one of those guys that you know, we all thought would kind of jump on the scene and be that premier arm. You know, is this the year he finally does that? You know, guys like Eric Tolman are back. So there's some decent pieces here from a pitching perspective. And, you know, and I feel like Arizona State with this coaching staff, I feel like they're going to hit. I mean, Drew Swift is a guy that, you know, Runes feels like it's going to take a big step forward offensively. Well, we all know how good of a defender Drew is, but you know, if he takes a big step forward offensively, that's a game changer. And so, I guess I'll go with Arizona State. I mean, they've got a chance to be really good. Do I think Arizona State will be a top 15 team? No. But is there enough talent available for them to surprise a few people and finish in that range? They could.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I'd be willing to do a board bet, by the way, if any. I think Arizona State's a definite regional team. I have that in my gut. So if anybody wanted to bet against me on that, I'd be willing to take that wager.
I actually agree. I think I actually kind of agree with you there. Like, I kind of feel like Arizona State is kind of a three, like an early three seed kind of team to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm with you guys too. You know, I'm a little nervous about it, but I think they have a real shot to be. And this league just feels so wide open, you know, after the top. There are four teams left. And I think at this point, for me, it comes down to which team do we think is going to regress the least? Because I don't think any of these teams will get back to their win total. Cal was 17-11. And the thing about that is look, there's young talent that I think is intriguing, but they didn't get on the field this fall. I mean, I just feel like that's such a huge disadvantage and
massive.
Yeah. And, you know, and Stanford coming off a 22-7 win 2 years ago was a disaster in 2020. And you know, their fall was all ruins. You talked to those guys. I mean, did they get on the field at all, even for like individual stuff?
No, they have a lot of guys that worked out individually, but not as a unit. There are a couple kids who were on camp. So I would say the short answer to your question is whatever happened, it was very limited.
I will say I do like some of the pieces that Stanford has coming back though.
There's some things you can build around, but they're not going to come close to 22 wins, I don't think. 22-7, no way. And Oregon State, 21-8, I don't really like their chances to get close to that either. Yeah. So I'm actually going to take the Bruins. It's a high bar. They were 24-5, but I think they're the team to beat in the league, clearly. I mean, they're freaking loaded. I mean, they actually could get to 24 wins. It wouldn't shock me if they finish 25-5 in the league. Because I think they're clearly the best team. I think they're not even close. But at the very least, I think you're going to get to 22. And so I feel good about if I have to take a 2-game regression here in this part of the draft, I'll take it. But I actually think that they got a chance to be special this year.
I'll add this. I think UCLA is going to be really good, but I don't think the difference between them and Arizona is like astronomical.
No, I mean, that's why I took Arizona with my first pick. I think they're also a 20-plus win team in the pack.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I'll tell you, so I'm up, right? I want to make sure I don't bat out of order again here.
You're good.
Yeah, you know what, guys? give me the Cal Bears. 17 wins is a lot. I don't know if they have 17 wins in them. But I am all in on Mike New. They do have a lot of people back. I mean, no fall ball is an issue, but Quentin Selma's back, if I'm not mistaken. Darren Baker's back. They've been kind of this young pitching's been kind of coming up, Grant Holman. And I know Mike New's too good of a coach for Cal. Again, they started 5-11 in 2020. That was not a great start. But I believe in Mike New too much to think that they're just going to drop to the cellar of this league. So, give me Cal and come on, Cal Bears, give me 15 wins. Give me 15.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's possible, certainly. But I mean, the thing to remember also is, they were 17-11. So they had 2 games postponed. So that's a 6.07 winning percentage is that's your baseline, that's a high bar, I feel like, for this club, that'd given the circumstances. But yeah. Okay. So I think that'll do it for the pack because we have 2 teams left, so we can't make it through another round of the pack.
I think Fitzy, so you tell me how you want to do this. It's like, should we force those 2 teams on me and you, and then Kendall goes to the big or to the Big Ten, or does that make it unfair?
Yeah, no, I think we go right to the Big Ten now is the way to do it.
Okay.
So Stanford and Oregon State go undrafted in this exercise. And you know what? I mean, the Beavers, I don't know what a realistic expectation is for them. I mean, I feel like they're probably in that 14 or 15 win range also for me. That's kind of where they fit. So, I mean, that's a 5 or 6 game, 7 game regression. That's why they went undrafted. But I mean, that could still be good enough to get them into a regional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would say this too, keep an eye on Stanford. This is a club that got off to a really slow start last year. Like, they were horrible. Dave Esker admitted it pretty openly. But when you look at this team, getting Alex Williams back in the middle of the season, Quinn Matthews is a really talented lefty that I actually liked when I saw them in Round Rock last year. That'll be their weekend rotation in conference. Then you look at some of these young players, Aaron Shooter Hunt and Nathan Rohde will write a lot more about these guys next week. But when you look at this freshman class, guys like Drew Bowser, they're comping him to potentially to a Ryan Braun kind of player. They've got a really talented freshman class. And so when you mix some of these pieces on the mound with some of these young players offensively, they could be a team to kind of keep an eye on. They could surprise some people.
I like it. All right. So I'm going first with a Big Ten team then, right? Correct, Fitzy?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, man. Well, let's just keep it in the home state. Give me the Nittany Lions. Give me the Penn State Nittany Lions, 4-18 in the league. What was interesting is they had a different feel in 2020. They got off to a 10-5 start. Now, truth be told, Penn State doesn't typically play a ferocious non-conference schedule. But what really stood out to me is they pitched like crazy. Through those 15 games, they had a 2.16 ERA. We all believe in Rob Cooper. Give me Penn State.
Yeah, I like that pick. That's what I would have taken too. I think I'm reading their fall report from Burke this week. They sound pretty intriguing to me. I actually think that they're going to, yes, good pick. Just leave it at that. That's a good pick. All right. And then again, I find myself in an interesting spot here. This is tough. This is, there's so many different directions you could go in. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to kind of take the same playbook as last time, and I'm going to take Ohio State, team that was 12-12 2 years ago. For me, I think they're one of the, there's so many teams that are, you can make a case for the top of the league, but I think they're one of them. I mean, I think they're one of the you know, top three teams that I could see winning this conference with the power pitching that they have, and some of the balance too offensively. I mean, I think this team gets to, 16, 17 wins. I mean, that might be hard for any team to do that in this conference just because it's so balanced, but I'm expecting about a 4-game improvement here, at least for Ohio State. So that's my pick.
I think there's a wide range of outcomes for Ohio State. I'll be honest, I'm not sold on Seth Lonsway as a win a bunch of games guy. Now, if you'd only want to talk about missing bats and strikeouts, I am 100% sold on Seth Lonsway, but he walks a lot of dudes. If he's in the strike zone though, he could be a unhittable, just mow people down this year guy. You know, Burhan, I want to believe in him, but you know, the 80 ERA and the 368, batting average against spooks me a little bit. But yeah, I could see Ohio State winning this league. I could see them finishing seventh.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Kendall, two for you, buddy.
Ooh, I'm gonna go with the fit playbook here. I'm gonna steal his mojo here. I'm gonna go with Iowa. Iowa won 12 games years ago. And I actually think Iowa will finish top three in this league. I think I'd probably have Indiana and Ohio State maybe ahead of them. But outside of that, like, I might have as much conviction about Iowa as I do some of these other teams. I think we look at Iowa, getting Grant Leonard back on the back end of the rotation, getting Cam Bauman back this year and healthy. Trenton Wallace, they added a really nice piece in Drew Irvin. And they got a pretty balanced offense, and we all know that Rick Heller and that staff do a terrific job of getting the absolute most out of their players. I came away from Patrick Ebert's Iowa report earlier this fall feeling very good about Iowa's chances in 2021.
Yeah, I'm with you. That was the other team that I was kind of mowing with that first pick. It was eeny, meeny, miny, mo there. So I like what you did, KR.
Yeah, look at you.
Yeah, I think my second team here is Purdue. They finished with 7 wins a couple of years ago, and here's the deal with Greg Goff is there's no doubt they have a lot of question marks, but they added a ton of JUCO players in the offseason. If you go back and look at what Greg did at Campbell and what Greg did at La Tech, what's kind of the recurring theme there is he brought in a lot of junior college guys, and guess what? Both of those formulas worked out for him. So when I look at Purdue, I'm not going to sit here and say they're going to win 13 games in this league, but what I'm going to tell you and guarantee you is that they'll finish much better than 7-16 because he knows the buttons to push and the formula with these junior college players, especially in a 1-year turnaround. So give me the Boilermakers.
Yep. Good pick. Again, you picked my pocket. Well done.
Sniper.
Boy, this is hard. Again, I've a lot of different teams I could go with here. But I am going to go with Michigan State.
Really? I was surprised at this one. I thought you'd go a different direction on this one.
Yeah. I mean, 8-15 2 years ago. I do think there's room for improvement there. I think that this team can at least get the double digit wins in the league. But I mean, there's some pretty intriguing pitching here. I mean, obviously Mason Earle is the big name atop the rotation. Mm-hmm. I like what I'm hearing about Jared Olson and Sam Benchcoder, who's a big mid-90s arm. It high strikeout rate. If that command piece comes, he can really be an impact guy. And they've added some nice JUCO arms too. So that's maybe the big key for them. But I think they're going to be a lot better on the mound. There's still some decent experience back in the lineup. I mean, I think that they'll be competent. I feel it's a big year for Jake Boss and that staff, and I think they will be improved.
I agree.
Yeah, that they're not going to – Michigan State, Steve, they're too good, right? Like, they just been in this little funk, and that can't last forever. There's no way.
Yeah.
So, all right. So that makes this first choice for me easy. Give me Steve Owens and the Rutgers Scarlet Knights.
Ooh.
Now I think
they are intriguing.
I'm probably early here, right? Like, it's probably gonna take him a little bit of time to get this going, but 9-14. I like that. Man, this next pick is brutal. What are we doing here? You know what? Give me Maryland. Maryland's on the board.
Ooh, right? That's a good one. That's the one I actually thought Aaron was going to go with with his last pick. I'll let you talk about them, but I actually came away in their fall report feeling like they're going to take a pretty sizable step forward.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they have Acosta still. We like that very much. That's a really good baseball family. They got talent, man. The Burke kid on the mound. This is a very interesting – they got some legit – top of the league talent. It just, you know, it hasn't totally come together in a couple of years. So yeah, give me the Terps.
I wanted that one, Runes. Why you got to do me like that?
We need harsh. Something. That's we're harsh. Struggling here at Rooney headquarters.
Okay. Yeah. Now it's tough. Now it's tough. So let's see here. You got Indiana 17-7. I feel like they're probably the team to beat, but I just think that's a tough bar. You know who I'm going to take? I'm going to take Illinois here, 15-9 2 years ago. I think they can get back to that kind of a level. I don't know that I see necessarily improvement, but I think they can hold their own. Actually, they may be better. I mean, that banner recruiting class now, those guys are third year players, you know, the Brandon Comia group, Jake Campbell. I mean, those guys that's a really good group, and now they've got experience and they were already, I think, emerging. You know how much I liked them last year in Frisco. I mean, Illinois to me is on the list of teams that could win this league. There's a number of those, but I'm taking the Illini.
I like it.
I will go.
KR, you got to go too. Oh. This is tough right now.
Well, my first team is for me is pretty easy. Michigan. I think a lot of people out there, I wouldn't say they're sleeping on them, but I don't see Michigan taking like a big step down. Like I think when you look at this team, you look at Steven Hadjer on the front of the rotation. You know, Blake Beards is back, Omaha experience. Willie Weiss is back, Omaha experience. Isaiah Page started a game in Omaha. I think you add in guys like Ben Dragani and Will Proctor from Georgia. You know, Proctor has a really nice arm, has experience in the SEC. So I think Michigan has depth on the mound. I think when you look at the rise of kind of Jimmy Obertop in the fall, and you know, they get guys like Riley Bertram back, Christian Bullock, guys that played in Omaha. Then you throw a really talented player like Ben Sims, who was a really solid player in the Big 12, but you know, just didn't get in the limelight because he was at Kansas. Now he goes to a place like Michigan. I actually feel really good about Michigan this year. I think they've got pretty quality arms, and I think they'll be just fine offensively.
All right.
I like that. I thought about Michigan too. Yeah, they're just –
I good. Really like their team. Like, I really – I mean, Michigan for me would be in that top, you know, outside of maybe Indiana, would be in that mix for number two for me with Ohio State and Iowa.
Like it. So, KR, you got to go one more, right?
Yeah. This is a tough one. You know, I think I will go with Spencer Allen and Northwestern. This is a team that finished 2 years ago with 11 wins. But I tell you what, again, I feel like I feel this way kind of reading every Patrick Ebert report because they're so damn good. But I kind of came away feeling like Northwestern has a chance here to be much improved. You look at the, you know, the returning arms or the, you know, or even additional arms, you know, guys like Mike Doherty, Tyler Uberstein, you know, Doherty's a guy up to 92. You know, Uberstein was really interesting. You know, he's been up to 94, 95 in the past. And so, you know, if they can get a couple of guys like that to kind of step in that week in rotation and be consistent, that could be a game changer for Northwestern. So I'll go with Northwestern with 11 wins. I think Spence is actually a really good coach. That's a very, very difficult job. It's tough to get kids into school there. I think those guys could surprise some people this year.
Good guy. I like that.
All right. For me, you guys, you know, I actually kind of feel good about this pick. I'm going to take Nebraska here.
Ooh, dang it.
15-9 2 years ago. I feel like people aren't really talking about Nebraska when you talk about Big Ten contenders. Yeah. you know, you hear about Indiana, you know, of course, Michigan with their pedigree. I mean, we mentioned Illinois, Ohio State, Iowa, even Maryland. I mean, this is for me, first of all, this is the most wide open league. Like I could see there's actually like seven teams that I could see winning this league. It's just bonkers, but so competitive. But Nebraska's got to be in that mix for me, you know, and here's the thing is it's kind of like Illinois. 2 years ago, they had that banner recruiting class. Those guys are third year guys now, and they're talented, you know, and Spencer Schwellenbach, the crown jewel of that group, is now all of a sudden like a bona fide two-way, you know, start, but the pitching piece is really come on. I mean, it's like a mid-90s guy who pounds the zone, and people really like him as a pitching prospect now. But Jackson Hallmark, another guy who was, you know, a very talented, you know, gritty player who could do a lot of different things, is also making, you know, a real two-way impact this fall. And of course, Cade Povich, the lefty that I've talked about before, saw him this summer. I think he's a rising star. So, you know, and Colby Gomes has a huge arm, you know, I mean, there's a lot of nice pieces here. Shea Shaneman, you know, I'm curious what we can see from Paul Tillotson this year. I mean, they've got some really intriguing arms. That's what I really like about this team. And it sounds like the lineup has some versatility too. I feel like Will Bolt, you know, he knows how to coach up an offense, and I think they're going to be pretty efficient, and, I like their chances to get back to 15 or, and 9 or better.
Interesting.
I think Spencer Schwellenbach, we could wake up and he's the runaway Big Ten player of the year with the two-way stuff. And The guy can really hit like that. Yeah. And you know, we believe in this coaching staff very much. Yeah. That's a good get. All right. So I've got the final pick in this league, and Indiana is left and Minnesota are left. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. I guess that's it. Yeah.
Oh man, that is not convenient. All right, give me the Hoosiers. I don't think they're going over 17 wins, but I don't think they're going under 15. So give me the Indiana Hoosiers.
Yeah, and I will say that I think that's a safer pick than, like, you know, we're trying to play the, you know, catch lightning in a bottle with some of these teams at the bottom. But I mean, like, there's a real chance that Michigan State goes 8-15 again, you know, or Purdue goes 7-16 again, or Northwestern regresses. I mean, like, all those teams, they have room to grow, but they also, I mean, somebody's got to finish the bottom of the league, you know, and We know that Indiana is going to be somewhere up there. So I think it's actually in some way, maybe a safer pick than some of our higher upside picks we had earlier.
Hey, I got it. So we have an uneven number here, gentlemen. So I have a thought for the final pick.
Okay.
Tell me what you think. And I'll give you a second. Pull up 2019 RPI by conference. Ooh. And what do you say we pick now? You know, we can either use this pick as a tiebreaker if needed, or we could use it. You know, they won't have, you know, maybe I guess we could just do RPI points. Maybe we could just decide later how we want to do it. But what do you guys think? We each take a conference.
A conference. Okay. We could do that.
So a conference 2019, and just to make sure we're on the same page, 2019 RPIs went SEC, Big 12, ACC, Pac-12, American fifth. Tell me if that's what you guys are looking at.
Hold on, I'm pulling it up still. Let's see here. Yeah.
So the question is, so that would make me, I have the first pick, and we'll, you know,
how
so
many
the way
of these
you,
are we going to do?
Just one, just so that would get us to 8 picks total for today.
The only issue would be is if we're going off conference RPI, like a league like the Big Ten is going to be garbage in the RPI because they're only playing conference games.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah, RPI is a problem this year, isn't it?
Yeah, that's not going to work. Good point. This is not the year to try to figure that out. It's
yeah, I mean, boy. We'll see if they change. I mean, it looks like they're going to be like the lone power conference right now to not play non-conference games.
So the only other thing that jumped in my brain was we pick leagues, and it is it's either we do kind of same thing over under on regional teams or over under on super regional teams.
That's a good
maybe
idea.
Regional teams is the way to go.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so just do regional teams.
Yeah, over under on
so that would be 2019. Yeah, so I'm doing a quick scan here, and I'm just going to throw a dart. What was a league in 2019 that was a little undervalued? Okay, give me the Big West. I don't know why, but they were the 14th ranked league RPI-wise. Let me promulgate my West Coast bias, support the left coasters here. Give me the Big West.
Yeah, just one regional team 2 years ago. So actually, I think that's a great pick. Well done.
Yeah. Let's now, see. Whether they can get a second or third team in, we know they're good enough to do it, but can they pull it off?
Okay. Hmm. Interesting. Okay.
Is Aaron next or am I next?
I think I'm on the clock.
All right. Next. Go for it.
Yeah.
I like the Big 12. They had five regional teams 2 years ago. So, you know, that's 55% of the league made it into a regional. I think it is a little bit of aggressive to say that, you know, seven out of nine can go, but I think this league is going to be good enough for them to have a real chance at that. So
I agree.
The Big 12, it is for me.
I like it. Boy, just thinking about this makes me want to send cases of red wine to the selection committee. Man, are they going to have
it? So I'm going to go with the American. And I actually feel pretty good about the possibility of this many teams, if the committee is willing to put this many teams from this league in. I think when you look at the American, I think Tulane's regional caliber. I think UCF's regional caliber. Obviously, ECU, Houston is a regional team. And I think Wichita State, just, you know, reading through Aaron's fall report earlier this fall, I actually came away really liking this club. Like, I think they've got a shot to make some serious noise in that league. And so, I mean, I think the American has five reasonable caliber clubs in that conference. The question would be, will the committee let all five in? So I'm going to go with the American.
I'll throw this out there, boys. Every year I do this, so I'm just going to keep letting the bet ride. This is the year the American gets a team in Omaha. I'm putting it out there, putting it in the universe.
If anybody
wants to go against me on a board bet there, feel free, but I'm putting that out there.
I think you might as well just ride that every year. I mean, one of these years you're going to be right. Seriously. It's going to happen.
That's it. It's going to happen.
Of all years, this would be the one, right?
Yes.
The American had three teams in regionals in 2019, so that's your baseline. But I feel like that's basically almost always where they wind up. I think their high watermark is four regional teams, which they've done in 2015 and 2018, from my quick scan here. So,
yeah,
you know, you got a shot at that to get at least a plus one.
Yeah, I mean, plus one. I mean, obviously, five would be the best case scenario. That would tie you if you get what you want out of the Big 12. So, I don't think they'll get five in. But, you know, I think those five teams have a chance to be really solid, and that gives them a shot.
The other team that I'm actually surprised wasn't picked here is the ACC. They had eight regional teams 2 years ago.
Yeah.
For me, there's definitely at least 10 easy regional caliber teams, and they have had 10 before. It's not easy to get 10, but maybe this year, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if the committee is going to lean more on those power conference teams or not, because they're all going to be so loaded. I mean, you know, there's so many good teams. Like, you know, I just posted the Pitt fall report, and it's like they're probably the last team in the league just by default because somebody's got to be. But, like, they're an old team, you know, with a lot of guys that have performed in the league. And, you know, maybe they're not as sexy as some of the other teams, but, like, in a normal year, it feels like this group of players could maybe be a regional team, you know. And it's just like everybody in that league, I feel like, is going to be very competitive. So I feel like the ACC has a chance to get 10 this year too.
I think this is going to be one of those years that if you're a mid-major that did not win your conference tournament, if there is a conference tournament, you're in trouble.
Could be.
Yep. Yeah, because I'm with you, Kendall. I'm having a tough time picturing an NCAA tournament without 20 ACC and SEC teams. Like, even – like, we did this on one of our podcasts where go through the SEC and the ACC and try to leave four teams out. It's really hard.
It is.
You know, to your point, Fitzy, like, you could leave Pitt out. That would be – fairly simple, but they're good. Like,
Well, if you look, and if you look at like the Big Ten, if let's say we think this league is like five or six, maybe even seven deep at the top, probably five or six, that means that five or six teams are going to have pretty good records in that league. Well, if they're all within a game of each other or they're all tied, what's the committee going to do? They're just going to put them all in. So that takes more bids away from some of these smaller conferences.
Here's one that also I'm surprised went undrafted in this little one round exercises, the Sun Belt. Sun Belt was one bid lead.
Yes, they're on my radar.
I wish I had seen that. I might have taken them instead of the Big 12 because I think they could get three.
Yeah, they're below my screen here. Damn it.
You know, I mean, I saw Coastal and South Alabama this fall and walked away thinking those could both be certainly regional teams. And, you know, the Cajuns, I know, and you're really high on Texas State, if I recall.
I think Texas State might be the best team in that league, to be honest with you. Very, I mean, I really, really like their club. Yeah, I mean, they've got everybody back offensively.
Amen.
So, yeah, I mean, that might be a four.
Hey gentlemen,
go ahead.
Fitzy, before you take us home, I have a final thought. So we're taping this the weekend of the ABCA, as we referred to. And even though I've been on their virtual convention, it's really, they did a great job considering all the issues, and it's been really cool. But I got to say, this is one of my favorite weekends of the year, because it's kind of like the first time we all get to get together and break bread, and, you know, nobody sleeps that weekend. And so really disappointed for that. I will tip a drink up for you guys this evening. I just want you to know that. And next year's convention is in Chicago. So we're only 364 days away from breaking bread in Chicago. So let's go.
Sorry, go ahead, Kendall.
No, I was just going to say, what would have been worse, having the ABCA in D.C. this year or being in Chicago in the winter?
Ugh, yeah, that's equally
terrible.
I'm saying, can we please get back to it, like a San Diego, Anaheim, Orlando rotation? Like, is that too much to ask?
Yeah, I've got to get on my man Craig Kylitz over our locations here. But two straight cold places.
He's done too good of a job. He's built the convention up so well that now there's like three cities on the planet Earth that can even host the thing. It's like 6,000 people.
So I brought this up with Craig, I think it was last year. I said, hey, if we're going to move this thing to like cold places, like why in the hell do we not have this in like New York City at some point? And apparently, as you might imagine, the rent for their convention center is like out of control. Mm-hmm. So that's why they cannot have it in New York. But I think it's in one like Vegas in a couple of years, I want to say.
Yeah, that is happening.
Oh, that would be cool. Scary, but cool.
We got to get the fire up the D1 baseball suite.
Hey, before even that happens, fellas, worst case scenario, I'm knocking on wood, put in the universe, the three of us will be breaking bread in Omaha at the Drover. So let's put that out there.
Well, I'm already in Omaha on my screen, so.
That's what I'm saying, yes.
Well, this wraps up what has been a really fun three-part arc here, Runes. You got your work cut out for you to come up with a podcast concept here in the off season that rivals this. I've really enjoyed this exercise.
Yes, it was fun.
Hope all of the listeners
One last thing, we will be debating the top 25 early next week, so I can't believe we're actually finally here, but yeah, we will be debating the top 25 next week. Can't wait for that. I'm sure Runes has some tricks up his sleeve.
And next week we've got a bonus. We've got two podcasts next week, our usual. Well, I guess it'll be, when you hear this, it'll be this week, but we've got another one coming on Friday with Shooter Hunt and Nathan Rohde, and I discussed the newcomer rankings that have been running on the site this week. So check that out. We'll be back again next week with the Runes and KR to do our usual podcast. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to see what the Runes can cook up for us. Go get it, Runes. I believe in you. Make it happen. We'll do it again next week. Until then, thanks for listening. So long, everybody.